Good morning and welcome to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. I'm Lynn Hatter in for Tom Flanagan, who is away on a much-needed vacation. We invite you to participate in today's show. Email us at perspectives@wfsu.org. Call us at 414-1234. Or if you're outside the Tallahassee area, the number is 1-800-926-8809. This morning, we're talking about the results of the 2012 election and what they mean for Tallahassee and Leon County. Joining us in the studio today are Jeff Howell, Leon County Republican State Committee man and treasurer of the Republican Party of Florida.
Good morning.
And Brian Lupiani, a lifelong Democrat. He's been involved in a number of local organizations, including the Leon County Democratic Party, but he is not a spokesman for the party. And just to be clear, neither one of these kind gentlemen joining us today are spokespeople for their parties. Good morning, Mr. Lupiani.
Good morning, Lynn. Good morning, Jeff. Thank you for having us today.
Oh, thank you all for agreeing to come on the show and answering my phone calls. So there was a pretty big election last week, and voters went to the polls to choose a president of the United States and also weigh in on U.S. House and Senate contests. But if you got further down on the ballot, you got to the local races, and there were several of them here in Leon and Tallahassee, and that's what we want to focus our attention on today. So I want to start with my first question, which is, how did this year's local races compare to those in election cycles past? Who wants to go for that one first?
Well, I don't know if there was much comparison. They were equally as nasty and equally as involved. The good news is a lot of people voted. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the metric is to compare one election with another. You know, I'm always interested when people talk about negative campaigns. The history of our country, going back to colonial days, there's always been negative campaigns. George Washington ran for the Virginia House of Burgesses, and his supporters handed out pint bottles of whiskey in exchange for votes. Abraham Lincoln ran in 1860 and was accused of being a part guerrilla. So, I don't think you can – maybe historians can compare one election to another, but here locally – I think that this was just a regular election. I'm happy by the fact that there was higher voter participation, and also there was a lot of regular folks running for office, and that's a good sign.
Definitely. Mr. Lupiani?
Yeah, I think that's true. I guess probably the main difference would be in the amount of money involved. That seems to increase almost exponentially from one election to the next. But, I think – you can look at the results in some cases and see that that wasn't the determining factor in who won. We have a great electorate here in Leon County, if I could say that. Our turnout, as Jeff mentioned, was high. In fact, I think we were the highest of any urban county in the state at 78%. And in addition to that, we've had, I believe, something like 16,000 or so new registered voters since the last election. And so that kind of raised the bar for the turnout. And we didn't – so we haven't come up to the percentage that we had in the past, but we're still pretty good.
And there was a lot of spirited debate. I know Mr. Howell talked about kind of the negative campaigns. And this was a very spirited election cycle. You had the race for city commissioner, the race for county commissioner, the race for sheriff. A lot of these were really heated, and I think it's kind of something that, you know, you had battles being waged kind of, you know, in the court of public opinion and even on websites. Talk a little bit more about that, because you saw a lot of clashes this election cycle, something I don't think we've seen a lot of in the past, and it really kind of came out this year.
Well, I think it was highlighted more because of the nature of the coverage, to be honest. I mean, I know that FSU, you had Herculean efforts to have programs like this. You just dedicated two perspectives a week to interviewing all the candidates, and so people had that available to size them up. But other than that, it's really been – you really had to hunt to find anything about any issues, to be honest. And not to name names, but the Tallahassee Democrat, what used to be our local newspaper and now is – something. I don't know what. I wouldn't call it a newspaper anymore. The coverage there mainly focused on who raised how much money, and who was saying – who was the latest saying something nasty about somebody else. I don't know if I remember a single article, maybe not even a single word about any issue facing the community. It was all controversy-driven, and there really wasn't much to let people know what the differences were between the candidates, except for the fact that in a lot of cases they really didn't like each other.
Let's pick up on that, though, because I think in a lot of races, too, to be fair, a lot of it is largely personality-driven, and you had some really big personalities out
right.
there. And a lot of these races, I mean, that's how – a lot of people don't do, maybe homework. They go for who they like the best or who they think sounds the best. Let's get into that, Mr. Howe. Go for it.
Well, if you want to compare elections, your first question, you can compare the 2010 mayoral race for the city of Tallahassee. And I was a supporter of Steve Stewart. And there you had an honest citizen who came forward. He had a blog and he had a publication called Tallahassee Reports. And he reported on the utilities because he had worked in conjunction with the Public Service Commission in the past on behalf of consumers. And so he had some very good ideas. And he ran for mayor and got very close to defeating the current mayor, John Marks. Now, that was a grassroots campaign. Even Democrat Gary Yordan, who was running the mayor's race, said that Steve Stewart's mayoral race was one of the best grassroots campaign in Tallahassee in 25 years. He runs again. Unfortunately, his opponent was Scott Maddox, a professional politician who does not waste campaign money. It's spent very efficiently. And the two went on the attack against each other. And so when you don't have the money – and it's difficult when you're running in this county, especially if you're a conservative or Republican. You have to run a near flawless campaign. But that one just went straight in the gutter.
That one. Okay, let's go for that one first, because that one was really a very big race, because like you mentioned, the spending, even during the primaries, some of the other candidates who lost also, talked a lot about money's role in political races. And obviously, Scott Maddox, the former Tallahassee mayor, former party chairman with the DNC, really big names kind of going on here. What was going on with this race? Because this one, like you said, kind of got nasty from the start. I mean, it came out the gate and it was there, and it kind of only maybe further devolved the closer we got to Election Day.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to point out, before getting to that particular point, I'd like to point out that there were other candidates in the race to start with, and some very, very qualified. A guy named Dan Parker, who is eminently qualified to be city commission. Some other folks. There's a young man named Delatry Hollinger, mm-hmm. who's I believe he's 18, which was held against him. He's very, very sharp, very accomplished for his age, and someone who I think everybody commended him when he when he lost, saying that he had a bright future in politics, and just the fact that a young man like that was willing to put himself out there for voter approval says a lot about somebody. But there were other candidates who received basically no mention at all. And this was something that was – it just seemed to me, just as somebody watching from the outside, that this thing was funneled in. The media wanted to have this match between these two guys, and that's what we got. Now, it's not because of the media, but – it really seemed to limit the coverage of what people would know about any of them, and the whole thing was looking towards a conflict of these two. Now, once it got down to them, I mean, obviously Maddox is going to have a big advantage because of his history in the community and everything like that, and the fact that he'd been in there. So that there was a huge name factor recognition there. And Mr. Stewart, ran a good campaign a couple of years ago, and he's been in the public eye too, and. If you're asking me why it degenerated or why it got kind of nasty so quick, I don't know. I wasn't involved in either campaign, and now I'm glad of it.
Yeah, I mean, because they started off, I mean, first there was a mailer, and then, you know, you had the issue of finances coming into play. You had a lot of that going on. I mean, it's part of it that, A, this was an open seat. I mean, they were right. going for a seat that was vacated by Mark Mushton. You know, so how does this, I guess the outcome of this race, when you look at the makeup of our entire city commission, how does the outcome of this race kind of factor into local commission politics? I mean, what can we expect from this new body with Maddox, you know, pretty much going back to where he started? Go ahead.
Well, the career politicians did very well this year. If you've run for office before, and Scott Maddox has run for attorney general and agriculture commissioner and city commission and whatnot, and he's running again. I mean, he's a political pro. So, you know, a career politician is going to take that open seat. That's what's happened. Andrew Gillum won, which probably is going to lead to some more questions on this show, because I think it's almost like watching the playoffs and who's getting to the Super Bowl. I think both of those gentlemen are probably going to run for mayor.
Mm-hmm. Now, that sets up an interesting scenario. And I like what you said. I want to get into that one. But first, I want to take that first part, which is where you talk about career politicians, because you had other people who won their first time out the gate. Let's take Marianne Lindley going for, you know, county commission against Akinak and Yamie, coming from the Tallahassee Democrat editorial board. And now, you know, she wins her first race. And, you know, Barbara Hobbs winning against Josephina Tamayo, Judge Tamayo, that was her second time, but she wasn't necessarily a career politician. So you had some upsets here. I mean, those were the biggest two.
Yeah. Well, I think as far as the judge race goes, I wouldn't characterize Ms. Tamayo as career politics. I mean, I think judges generally stand separate from from politics in most people's minds until they do something you don't like.
Yeah,
and then it's, you know, then it's all political. Marianne had a built-in constituency. She was obviously very well known through the community, and she raised quite a bit of money, and actually I don't really have anything to add to that.
No, I mean the money was really important there, because you saw a lot of last minute TV ads.
Yeah.
And we are going to go and take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to resume this conversation and get back to that last race. And you're listening to Perspectives on WFSU-FM. We're here in our studios with Jeff Howell, Leon County Republican State Committeeman and Treasurer of the Republican Party of Florida, and Brian Lupiani, who's been involved in a number of local organizations, including the Leon County Democratic Party. And we're breaking down the results of the 2012 local elections for Leon and Tallahassee. If you'd like to give us a call, our numbers are 414-1234, or if you're outside the Tallahassee area, the number is 1-800-926-8809, or email us at perspectives@wfsu.org. Gentlemen, when we left off, we were talking about the commission race with incumbent Akinak and Yamie and Marianne Lindley, and I think Mr. Lupiani, where we left off, we were talking about that kind of last-minute super ad and TV buy with Lindley. Is that what put her over the top in this race?
Well, it certainly didn't hurt. I really don't know. I mean, I think it probably helped a bit. But, you know, she had a – like I said, she's had a longstanding in the community, and she's been well-liked, obviously. And, you know, all that helped. I think the TV ads, I'm sure she doesn't regret doing them. I'm sure they helped quite a bit.
You know, this one was interesting, because this was another race that really kind of got heated. It even got heated kind of on our air.
Yeah, I remember hearing that. Yeah, I was listening that day.
You know, there was kind of a lot of back and forth between these two candidates. I mean, aside from the name recognition, you know, what else was at stake in this race, Mr. Howell?
Well, Marianne Lindley had the benefit of being on the editorial board of the Democrat for 30 years. And so she had that level of name ID and perhaps a fan club. I wasn't a fan club of her editorials, certainly, but especially in the late 80s. But, you know, she had some base to work from, and she toppled an incumbent. Now, I supported in the August 14th primary a woman by the name of Emily Fritz, who ran a very admirable campaign, was not a career politician. I think she spent a reasonable amount of money getting her message out, and she did not make it to the November runoff. So what you see here is the incumbent got in the runoff, and so did somebody that came out of the media world. So you have to come from some kind of base and get your base to turn out. That's what politics is really about. It's getting your folks to the polls, and she apparently had a base, and she had the money. Unfortunately, money is the mother's milk of politics. If you don't have the money in a campaign, you can't get your message out.
Definitely. And we've got two callers on the line. Let's go to Reed on line one. Reed, are you there?
I am. Thank you.
Hey, go for it.
Well, you know, you all were talking about the race between Ms. Lindley and Commissioner Akinyemi, and I think you're doing a little disservice to the listeners of Perspective. I was listening to the show when Tom Flanagan was interviewing the commissioner and the challenger.
Mm-hmm.
And I recall distinctly Commissioner Akinyemi in response to a question that Tom raised and Ms. Lindley answered regarding some of his financial dealings, which had become public. And he said, quote, "Marianne, you are a big, fat liar." And he repeated that on the air. And I think a lot of people who might have been inclined to stick with the incumbent were so distraught and perhaps even disgusted by that comment that they changed their feelings. I know of at least one or two people who indicated that to me. So I think it's important to give credit where credit is due. And in this case, Perspectives might have had a more profound effect on the election than they think.
Well, thank you so much, Reed, for that. And let's follow up on that one because, you know, that did happen there here on the show. The two candidates did get into a bit of a back and forth. And it's kind of goes to something that, you know, Reed talked about, which was finances. We saw, you know, people's financial issues being brought out a lot in this race, the Akinyemi race again, where the candidate was having some business issues. And then again in the Maddox Stewart race,
right.
You know, which both basically led to a turnaround in endorsement. Who wants to follow up on what Reed had to say here?
Well, not to defend outgoing Commissioner Akinyemi, but I did read someplace that he did take back the first two words of that insult. So I don't think that I think that's a little too late. Yeah, he was. I don't think that was one of the highlights of his time in office that he would be very proud of. I would like to say something a little bit on a tangent. Jeff's been talking about career politicians, and you know you have a case here in this particular race. Mr. Akinyemi was finishing his first term on the county commission. I don't think that would qualify him as a career politician. A lot of these people are not. You know, I'll let Scott Maddox speak for himself. Other folks in that race were definitely not career politicians. You know, even Ms. Ray Winkle-Vasalinda, I would imagine that Jeff would include her in that. But she's only been in the House
four years.
Yeah, 4 years. This is only her third election. I don't know at what point you become a career politician, but, you know, one of the things about that is that you don't get to that point unless people think you're doing a good job and reelect you. And I think a lot of us would agree that after some amount of time, it may be too long. But obviously, that's not the case for some
people.
Hold
that thought, actually, because we have a caller on line two. It's Monica, and that's actually what she wants to talk about. Monica, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go for it. I say you have a problem with the term career politician.
Yes, I do, because it's one that's a loaded question, and it begs the person or the listener to think that there's something wrong with being a politician. This is the way our government is set up. We require these people to be representatives of the larger group and body of people, and to say career politician, you know, why not? What's wrong with being a career politician? If you do a good job and the people think you're doing a good job by electing you every single time that you run, there's nothing wrong with that. And so I think there needs to be a distinction, and the term career politician, which is, like I said, it's front-loaded, and we should just say politician or statesman or whatever, but I don't think there's anything dirty with it. I think the bad part of it may be how people show themselves, like when they stand in Congress and say mean-spirited things about women and talk about, you know, stuff that just scientifically is not accurate and do not want to understand that it's not accurate. I mean, that's where I'm coming from. Thank you.
No, thank you for calling. Mr. Howell, you're the one who threw that
right
one out there.
And thank you, Monica, for the question, because I guess I can add to what I was saying. I do believe there are career politicians. I believe there are people that spend too much time in politics, in political office, that don't circulate amongst the people, that don't work regular jobs like us, but they're more than willing to pass laws that govern us. You know, one of the candidates in particular, I consider Scott Maddox to be a career politician. But the other ones, I guess, to add to my answer, there are establishment politicians, incumbent politicians. It was a good year for them. Or if you come from some type of establishment like the media, in this case Marianne Lindley, you had a base to run on, and that was my point. It was not a good election for citizens that were running. And the caller, Monica, is correct. Politicians is generally not a bad word. In some parlance, it is, though. You can be called a politician derogatively, somebody that maybe that waffles on their positions. But by and large, all of these candidates, whether they're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, ought to be applauded for putting it out there in the public and making a sacrifice to run, whether you agree with them or not. I graduated from FSU in the 80s, and I had a really good political science teacher who was a liberal. And, of course, I'm a lifelong Republican, and Dr. Henry Glick told me that he's going to write my letter of recommendation, even though we're from different political perspectives, because he respected the fact that I was involved. And so I learned at an early age it's important to respect people that are actually out there running, because it takes a lot of sacrifice, nerve, and maybe some people are crazy for running. But, you know, Monica, I wasn't intending to say that everyone is a career politician. Maybe that came out wrong. Some people are, and I don't think it's good. What I meant to say is it was probably a good election for people that weren't just regular citizens running and had never run before.
You know, you brought up something really interesting. There was actually a forum, a local forum. I think it was put on – I'm not going to say who I think it was put on because I don't want them yelling at me. But it was put on, and it talks about, you know, just getting more people to run for local office, that there is a shortage of people who are willing to put themselves out there and actually run. Talk about that, because, you know, everybody complains. I've heard so many people say, oh, I don't like the choices I'm presented with, you know, and I've heard it, you know, raised, and I say, well, why don't you run? Oh, right. I don't want to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I hope we get to the point where more people feel that they can do that. I think part of the problem is this focus on negativity and, you know, playing up every bit of conflict and anything that could be construed in any way as a bad thing in somebody's life. I mean, a lot of people don't want to put themselves up to that scrutiny. But I think, you know, I mean, I certainly agree with that sentiment. And I remember that. I don't remember who it was, but I remember hearing about that forum. And I think we need more of that. We need to get – you know, people need to feel that they should get involved, and not that, you know, well, I don't like that, but I don't want to be bothered with it, or, you know, I'll let them decide. You know, we have, like I said before, we've got a very engaged and an educated electorate here in Leon County. I think this can be a place where people can feel empowered or enabled to run.
Even at the risk of having, you know, your whole life out there, I mean, because, you know, we talk about the issue of personal finances, and granted their personal finances, but for at least two of our candidates, Commissioner Akinyemi and Steve Stewart, pretty big impact there.
Well, there's a lot of people out there with no money. They should be the ones that are running, maybe.
Possibly. Well, we have a caller here on line four. It's Dave, and he wants to talk about the trend of Republican candidates appearing not so Republican this year, perhaps. Dave, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for taking the call.
Oh, go for it.
Thanks. I just wanted to comment on kind of the, as you said, the trend noticed this year, particularly with some of the Republican candidates. Mr. Howell might want to comment on it, thinking specifically of, Brad Maxwell attacking Representative Ray Winkle-Vassalinda on education funding, and Halsey Bashir's suddenly becoming the champion of the state worker, and being against privatizing prisons, and Steve Stewart buddying up, trying to make it appear as though he was endorsed by Jackie Pons. And I just was wondering what Mr. Howell's thoughts were on that, if there's a certain level of disingenuousness maybe there, and if the Republican Party around, or in the area, has plans to kind of tell the voters what they're actually standing for, and then not just kind of muddy the waters in the future.
All right. Thank you for that, Mr. Howell. Well, I think that one's all
is
yours.
His name David? David, it's always a pleasure to be a Republican in a majority Democratic county. You get those kind of sniping questions at you from Democrats. Those three individuals that ran, I do not subscribe to the theory that every person on whatever political side of the spectrum is rigidly adherent to a particular physical policy as far as spending and how government should be run. The three individuals that you mentioned, leaders in politics have to react to the needs of their community or their society. And let me just start with Bradley Maxwell. He was running in a House district that is heavily composed of state workers. As a matter of fact, of all the House districts in the 127 members of the House of Representatives, it had the largest per capita number of state workers. So he had to meet with people. He walked to over 40,000 homes and learned what people were thinking, and a lot of them were concerned about their employment with the state, about the privatization and the cutbacks. So to act like Republicans are some monolithic group that rigidly adheres to one set of principles is just incorrect. It's a mischaracterization of Republicans. But thank you for the question anyway, David. As to Halsey Bashir's, he was running in a district that has a lot of prisons, and privatization is an issue. So you find in these kind of races that the candidates of whatever party have to react to the concerns of the voters and the constituents, and that's what all three of these politicians were doing, David. But thank you for the question anyway.
Well, and with respect to the prison privatization issue, legislatively, if you look at, the entire body, there were several Republicans in the legislature who also broke on the privatization issue. That was one that also was a hotly debated issue with respect to that one.
But if a member of a political party deviates, for instance, from general concepts that their party advances, it does not mean they've abandoned their core principles, no more than Democrats who stray from the party line who attempt to represent their constituency. So, the shoe can be easily put on the other foot.
Well, I'd just like to say that the Democratic Party line, I think, is a lot broader these days than the Republican Party line seems to be. And I think, unfortunately, we've just had an example of something that discourages people from participating. Now, this guy calls up with a legitimate question, and he's characterized as making a sniping question. These are legitimate concerns that people have when somebody shows up like Mr. Maxwell working, you know, who voluntarily is a Republican. I mean, that's his choice to run as a Republican, and that's fine that the Republicans run somebody in that district. But it's, as you said, it's a heavily state employees district, and one of the rock solid principles of the Republican Party is that government is evil, and that the people who work for it need to be demonized. Now, why this guy – I mean, he may go around and talk to folks about
it. I don't really think it's that. I think it's kind of smaller government.
Well, all right, smaller government. But they still – they tend to demonize state workers and government in general. And, you know, why Mr. Maxwell would expect to do better than he did is kind of beyond me. But, you know, he did carry a couple of precincts. But, you know, we have somebody who puts himself comes on this calls into the show and asks a question, and is more or less attacked. And you know, I think this sort of stuff has to stop. And this is you know, this thing about Republicans not appearing Republican. I was just going to add to it, Mr. Sutherland, who in while he's in Leon County, he's talking about his good friends Dennis Kucinich and Barney Frank. But apparently he forgets that he's good buddies with them when he's over in Bay County.
Well, I think for most candidates, though, most candidates, depending on who you're talking to, you're going to be changing your tune. And I think that goes for both parties. So, I mean, that's something that you can argue, you know, kind of both sides. I want to kind of elevate this just a little bit higher. Let's not go back and forth on this. But, you know, kind of another – up, there goes our cue music. So I'm going to pause here, and we're going to resume this conversation right after this break. And we're back here on Perspectives. We're talking about the results of the 2012 election and what they mean for Tallahassee and Leon County. We're here with Leon County Republican State Committee man and Republican Party Treasurer Jeff Howell and Brian Lupiani, who's worked before with the Leon County Democratic Party. And just to be clear, neither one of these gentlemen are spokespeople for their parties. They're just here offering their expertise on the local elections. Please feel free to join our conversation at 414-1234, or if you're outside the Tallahassee area, the number is 1-800-926-8809, or email us at perspectives@wfsu.org. And we are back, and we have a caller on the line. Actually, this is Larry. Larry is calling us because he has another question, probably for Mr. Howell. Larry, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Mr. Howell, it's always a pleasure to hear you speak. I think you do a fantastic job. And I think you've been one of the lone bright stars of the local Republican Party. And my question has more to do with the congruency between the local Republican Party and what's going on at the national level. After this election cycle, there's been some suggestion that there should be scrupulous self-inspection by the Republican Party. Are they representative of the country? Some talk about expanding the demographics of the Republican Party, and I was wondering what the local party would be doing or thinking about trying to do to maybe expand the demographics of the local party and get them more involved in the local elections. I'll take comments off the air. Thank you.
All right.
Well, thank you for the question, Larry. With respect to rebuilding the party and moving forward, you know, obviously the last week's election has caused many Republicans and conservatives to have a sense of introspection about what they can do. But this is normal for American politics. I remember when George Bush was reelected in 2004, many people on the left said they were leaving the country. And that didn't really occur. Now we hear some people saying they want to secede from the country. So You go through this period. It's typical of American politics of venting and teeth gashing. And then eventually the reasonable minds come together and plot a course for the next election. That's the way the founding fathers envisioned it. The pendulum of power swings back and forth. One election cycle, one party wins, and another election cycle, the other party wins. On a local level, we have outreach programs already in the local party. The main thing to point out here, and I'm sure we'll get some more callers in Leon County when I say this, but we as Republicans do not believe in abandoning our core principles. But what I think we need to do is explain our principles better. I think a lot of this is a communication problem. And if you look at the minority communities, if you look at immigrants, a lot of the values that they share are very similar, if not identical, to some of the core principles of Republicans. And so I think that some of this has to do with better communication and better outreach. And quite frankly, I am not speaking for the Republican Party, even though I hold an officer position, but I can tell you as a lifelong Republican activist that the party has not done a good job. I'm probably the only one in Leon County that's actually run an African-American for a Republican position, ran the campaign as a young man, and I understand the hurdles that you go through. They're challenges, I view them as, and the Republican Party needs to do a better job.
Gotcha. Well, Larry, thank you. Thank you very much for calling in. There are two more races that we want to get at quickly because we have not talked about them that much. And this is the one for school superintendent. I want to start with that one first because you have here, Superintendent Jackie Pons, wildly popular. I think his popularity is in like the 60s, according to like a Tallahassee Voices survey that was done. Name recognition in the 80s, and he handily kind of defeated his challenger and English teacher, Sabrina Allen. But this is one where, it's interesting because, A, someone did challenge him for that position, and B, a lot of people say, well, it's possible that the superintendent may have, some even higher aspirations. Let's talk about this particular race because for superintendents statewide, a lot of them lost their seats. But for Superintendent Pons, he got to keep his.
Well, I would say that shows he's doing a pretty good job. Anybody in a position like that is going to have, there'll be other people who may feel they could do a better job or don't like something he's done. I've met Ms. Allen. I don't really know her. You'd have to ask her why she ran. Mr. Pons, Superintendent Pons, has done a good job, and people agree with that. And I think, the fact that we had such a huge, I think it was greater than 2-1 or at least about 2-1 vote in favor of the halfpenny sales tax extension that kind of goes hand in hand with Pons and the school board, that they're seen as being good administrators and good guardians of the public's money when it comes to the school system. And, it's if you do a good job, it's like Mr. Sancho in the Supervisor of Elections office, except he hasn't, he doesn't really get much in the way of opposition. If somebody's in there and they're right for the job and they really do a good job at it, they're going to be supported. And, that's pretty much that.
I mean, he's had to weather, a couple years. This is for superintendents across the state, several years worth of budget cuts. And, when you talk about education, it's a very passionate issue because right. We also saw some other local superintendents who weren't so fortunate. In Jefferson County, Superintendent Brumfield lost his seat. In Okaloosa, I think the sitting chair of the superintendents, the president of the Superintendents Association lost his seat. So, this was kind of one area where, you saw a difference here in Leon County. About Pons's popularity, though, this is something that's really interesting because, like I said before, there have been a lot of murmurings about, he may want to run for higher office. And I think for, maybe a lot of local candidates, the local might be just the kind of the starting place.
Yeah. Well,
and school superintendent is a good political base to run for higher office, actually, if you do a good job. And I agree with Brian that the In this particular case, it appears that he did do a good job. He is a good political leader. I would add that. He actually reached out to me for support in trying to ask Republicans who don't demonize government and don't consider everybody evil, Brian. There's an old rule in politics: don't let your opponent characterize you or frame you.
We're nonpartisan here. We're nonpartisan.
No, we're not. We're just trying to evaluate the thing. Yeah. But no, with respect to Jackie Pons, not only have the voters viewed that he is a good administrator, he's very good at reaching out. And when he reached out to me, I was curious. Well, why do you need me? I'm a Republican, and. He was concerned that the Republicans would go to the voting booth and see no Republican and vote for the no party affiliation candidate, which was the other candidate. And quite frankly, she ran – you want to talk about nasty campaigns? She put some nasty stuff out there, one that he was allegedly raised on a plantation and his father was a slave overseer. Well, his father had to have been 167 years old to do that. And so I think she sort of self-destructed, you know, at the end of the campaign.
Well, that was another one too. That was kind of the battle there was waged kind of largely out of the public eye. There were a lot of kind of things going on back and forth where you had one candidate attacking and the other just simply refusing to give it a lot of credence. But is that kind of, you know, the way of, you know, the world now? Do maybe some of the candidates who feel like they're going up against, you know, really powerful people feel that they need to just go that way? I mean, and not just for this race, but, you know, for others as a whole. Is this kind of maybe the new end?
Can I answer? Certainly hope not.
Can I answer that? And Brian might agree from a Democratic organizing standpoint. People come to me all the time and say that they want to run for office. And number one, I tell them, well, you better be ready to put yourself and your family through a lot of grief because you're going to get attacked on all sides. And you better be prepared to raise money and ask people for contributions. And some people are just shy. They think that they're so wonderful or their ideas are so great that people ought to just hand them the money. And they get out there and they're ill-prepared to run. And I do applaud citizens running that don't have a career in politics. Sorry to use that term again, but you know, you asked me for my opinion. I tell people do a lot of soul searching, go up on the mountain and pray before you decide to run, and realize that it is not a luncheon at the junior league that you're getting ready to attend here. You're getting ready to be attacked. And you also have to learn how to get out amongst people. What amazes me, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've had a lot of shy people come to me and want to run for office. And, you know, I ask them why, and, you know, sometimes it's they just want a job, you know, to talk about the unemployment rate right now, but wanting a job is not a reason to offer yourself for public office. You have to be able to communicate with people. You have to be able to sit down with people that you don't agree with necessarily and discuss things. And there's a lot of people that are ill-prepared for running for office. And I would say, you know, get some training in communication, you know, attend some political organizations, learn what it's all about before you run. I'm just saying, unless you like to experience grief.
Always be prepared.
I wouldn't disagree with any of that. I would like to walk back a little bit what I said earlier or clarify. I certainly didn't mean to say that all Republicans demonized government and state employees. I know a lot of state employees are Republicans. It certainly seems from the officials in the Republican Party and the unofficial leaders like radio hosts, not on public radio, that seems to be the Republican position. At any rate. Yeah, I would agree that there is a problem in trying to get good people to run or getting anybody to run, and I'm not sure. I wish I knew what the solution was to get people to stop being reluctant and put themselves out there. I think the world of all these people that do decide to run. It is a hard process, and hopefully, at some point, we as a society will stop being so focused on the negative, and be a little bit more rational in examining the candidates.
Well, another local race here that was kind of really spicy was that of sheriff's race. You talk about people always drawing challengers. It seems our sheriff, Sheriff Campbell, drew, you know, several in the primaries, and emerging from the primaries, he still had a challenger in the general with Sheriff Campbell and Lisa Sprague. Is it Sprague?
Sprague. Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, talk about what's going on here, too, because this was another one of those races where the battle was largely waged on blogs and on websites and, you know, go for it.
Well, Jeff, I have a little bit of insight into that. Originally, the sheriff was in a Democratic primary against a candidate named Tommy Mills, who ran a very admirable campaign. Yeah. Tommy
Second
Mills
time.
Got 48% of the vote. 48% of the vote for Tommy Mills, 52% for the sheriff, which was just incredible against an incumbent sheriff. Right. Interesting side note, his campaign manager, Tommy Mills, is an African-American Republican who ran the campaign. That's the good thing about America, is to see different things. I wish she was running a Republican, though, for office. But anyway, she got out there, and that was a grassroots campaign. They walked the precincts and handed out yard signs to people. They targeted their voters. That was not a lazy campaign that just sat around and waited for, you know, the media to come to them. And so Tommy Mills is probably setting himself up for a future run for something when you run that strongly against a sitting sheriff. The Lisa Sprague, you know, then it went downhill from there because she was the next challenger, and it's very hard to run as a no party affiliation.
Right. Yeah. I believe Ms. Sprague is a Democrat, but she chose to run as NPA instead of in the primary, which I guess was also the case with Ms. Allen running against Superintendent Pons. But yeah, I think Tommy Mills did an incredible job, and you know, again, I keep saying this, but I don't know him or know him well. I've certainly met him a few times, and I would assume, just my own personal hunch, is that he'll try again. You know, whenever Sheriff Campbell decides not to run again.
Well, I mean, he dominated the primaries. I mean, he too had major ad buys. He was also running commercials. You talk about money in the race.
Right.
There was a lot of money in that one.
Yeah. Well, and not to mention all the name recognition. And, you know, I mean, it's a two-edged sword. You know, you could say that I would yield to Jeff that you could probably call Sheriff Campbell a career politician, although he's not really – I mean, he's a career elected official is probably a better way to put it. You know, he's been in there a long time. And in any place – I mean, we've got 250,000 people or more around here. And, you know, you're going to have people turn up after someone who's been in office that long that, again, thinks they can do it better or different. And, you know, they're going to get a response. So I don't think it shows any particular, you know, problem that Sheriff Campbell has or anything that he had opposition.
Two observations to play off of what Brian was saying. Career politician, we're coming full circle with my term, I guess.
Well, it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Well, right. No, it's a subjective kind of thing. And the sheriff was perceived as a career politician. Now, in that case, I voted for the career politician. You know, you also had the state attorney race with Willie Meggs, who's been in for 30 years.
Right.
He won in 1984, nearly 30 years. And Republican Pete Williams ran a very admirable campaign and got very close. Of course, you have to spend a lot of money, unfortunately, if you're trying to knock out a career politician. But apparently enough people in the Second Judicial Circuit felt that this longtime career politician – you know, some people, they're career politicians. To other people, they're public servants. So it depends on how you view things.
It depends on if you vote for him or not.
In the eye of the beholder. So as we prepare to kind of wrap this up, you know, this is obviously set up pretty much what's going to go down in 2014 when we have another election cycle where we go to the polls to decide who we want to be Tallahassee City Mayor. And pulling back from way earlier in the show, you know, what is that looking like? Because with the election of, you know, Lindley and Scott Maddox and possibly others, you're now kind of shaking up the pot and throwing it out there.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you have, you know, at least, I would say, at least two or three, if not four or five potential city commissioners as potential mayoral candidates. And then there's always, I was just thinking earlier today, there's always a dark horse that nobody's considering, but there's plenty of time for him to move back to Tallahassee and become eligible. You know, we don't know what Charlie Crist is going to be doing in 2 years. He may run for mayor.
Are we talking about local office?
Anything goes, I guess.
What party is he now, Brian?
Well, luckily for him, that's a nonpartisan position.
Yeah.
So he can. That's kind of tailor made.
Well, as local Republicans will make sure to put all his quotes out there that he's a Jeb Bush Republican, that he stated that he was a Ronald Reagan Republican, and that he was against the Affordable Care Act.
Awesome. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. You all have been listening to Perspectives. Today we've been joined by Mr. Jeff Howell, Leon County Republican State Committee man, and Mr. Brian Lupiani, lifelong Democrat and previously with the Leon County Demographic Party. Thank you both for joining us. We really appreciate it. And thank you all for listening to today's Perspectives.
Thank you, Lynn.
I like that.
Yeah.
Audio copies of Perspectives are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. Log on to WFSU.org for online archives and podcasts. Perspectives is a production of 88.9 WFSU-FM, Tallahassee.